Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service.
Back with Trendy Trev.
Now, community sector leaders urge Australians to back voice to Parliament on October 14th. That's this Saturday, you mob. The community sector is launching a final campaign push for the voice to Parliament with more than 80 leading community groups across housing, health, legal, disability, financial aid and social welfare. Today, releasing a joint statement urging Australians to vote yes to ensure First Nations voices are heard. With that, I'm going to catch over Yana with ACOS CEO, Dr. Cassandra Goldie, AO, and got her on the line. Doctor, good morning. How are you, Cassandra?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. Where are you based? You there?
Based in Redfern today, actually.
Okay. Good. So thank you. Yeah. A push there, urging community sector leaders, urging Australians to back voice to Parliament this Saturday, 14th of October. Need to get over the line, don't we?
We certainly do, Trevor. Mm. ACOS and myself personally came very quickly to respond to the ask from that Uluru process, you know, back in 2017.
Yes.
It was very clear to us that it was an ask to the rest of Australia. And we were not happy when, you know, back then the then Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, said no. We said, well, actually, you haven't
yes.
asked us.
Thank you. We
came out very quickly to say that we wanted to back and support and respond to say yes to, you know, voice, treaty and truth.
Yes.
And here we are. We've only got a few days to go. And right across the community sector, many community organisations on the ground, you know, in solidarity, long history of relationships, as you know, all over the country, Trevor.
Exactly.
And so many of our organisations and community people have been volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers go up on those volunteers every day, actually, even now. I'll be out there later on this afternoon again talking to people at the bus stops.
Yes.
A lot of people are still trying to work it out, aren't
exactly.
they? Exactly. It's a challenge.
It's a challenge. And we asked the question. And Dr. Cassandra, we asked the question. The government makes decisions on First Nation people without us. Well, here's an opportunity
yep.
to be at the table. Now they make decisions with us and guide them and what have you, you know. And it's advisory council. We advise, but then if you look at it as taxpayers' money, people have said that we waste a lot of money in this space. Well, money cannot be wasted then if you go into the right cause or right communities or right reasons. So having a voice at the table is a good thing. And for the no voters, if not this, then what is the question, Dr. Cassandra?
That's absolutely right. I mean, Trevor, you know, from myself personally and in the organisations where I've had the privilege of working, you know, ACOS, now for some time and previously with, say, the Darwin Community Legal Service up in the Northern Territory for about 5 years and the Australian Human Rights Commission, you know, a history of determination from Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community people and leaders to get a seat at that table, to have the opportunity to come up with the clear advice
yes.
About what is needed for communities all over the country. And as you know, we've got a history of really big efforts to build those national organisations and then they get taken away.
Exactly.
And so I, you know, really respect and understand why this time round the ask is for that guarantee to be put into the Constitution, that there will be an ongoing national advisory body made up of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people elected by communities from all over the country.
And that will be enshrined.
Provide that ongoing, you know, deep expertise and advice about solutions.
And that will be enshrined, would it not, you know, when we're talking about
it's
a referendum,
enshrined.
It's enshrined. Top of your head, are we in the Constitution as First Nation people?
Well, of course, the recognition is not there. I mean, the history of this Constitution is one that everybody should know and understand. I mean, it was formed, the Australian Constitution was created in 1901. It was formed by, you know, white people, men.
Yes.
Who took it upon themselves to refuse to put even basic rights protections in the Constitution.
Yes.
Part of that history is because there were mining interests involved, and at that time there were laws that prevented other people of colour, people from Chinese backgrounds, from Indian backgrounds, from being allowed to take out mining licences. I mean, that's our history.
Exactly.
And one of the first laws that was passed by the newly federated, you know, Constitution, Parliament, Federal Parliament, was the White Australia policy. And so this is a very serious history that you know, the leadership of First Nations people to say we want to be properly recognised in the Constitution and that is part of this process. And then to have that guarantee of an ongoing advisory body at national level made up of elected Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islanders, it's a very clear and very wise ask from Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, and I'm very keen that we do all that we can to bring in a yes vote as we lead up to this Saturday, October the 14th.
Exactly. Dr. Sandra, when you look at the CEO of Telstra, CEO of Qantas, CEO of a big organisation, they're just a phone call away to the Prime Minister. Well, we don't even have that as a First Nation people, you know, and things don't change if things don't change. And change is the engine of growth, is how I see it.
That's it. Well, if we you know, this was, as I say, the Uluru Statement was, you know, for everybody that was involved, it was, you know, an enormous amount of effort to bring through that consensus. Of course, you know, consensus is very hard to achieve, you know, and you'll never get 100% of everybody. But certainly, you know, all the evidence is clear that there's, you know, still over 80% of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people saying, you know, you'll trust it.
Well, exactly.
You'll back it. We want to go forward, not backwards. And, Trevor, you know, for so many non-Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people that I spend time with, they see this as a gift to us all as a country.
Yes.
To bring through that deep wisdom of, you know, First Nations culture for all of us to share and, you know, grow from.
Exactly,
Why wouldn't we want that as
and
a country?
Australia is the only first world country on planet Earth that doesn't have a treaty with the First Nation people. Now, treaty is still a work in process, but having a voice to Parliament, that's a step in the right direction, I would think. And the fact that if it doesn't go through, I think it would be embarrassing internationally for Australia.
Well, it's unthinkable for many people, I think, that we would contemplate anything other than a yes. Having been on the ground for many months now, listening to people who have not been that close to all of this, there are still people today who haven't even heard about the referendum. There are other people who are genuinely very confused. And so every conversation, every chat, every warm smile matters.
Okay. Yes.
Right up until Saturday, because boy, have we, you know, over and over again, what I've seen is when people understand what's at stake, people move to do the right thing.
Exactly.
They really do.
Exactly.
Overwhelming numbers of people, you know, want the best outcomes for everybody. Mm. They do want, you know, a better country. But we've, as you know, Trevor, you're in the media business. You know how hard it can be sometimes to get the messages out in a way that are very clear, including with social media. And so those person-to-person chats are very, very important, and that's about democracy, isn't it?
It is. Dr. Cassandra, thank you for your yarn. So community sector leaders urge Australians to back voice to Parliament on October 14, this Saturday. Thank you very much, Doctor. You take
we
care.
We certainly do.
And we'll yarn
thank
soon.
Thank you so much for your time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
And feed Joe, Chipper 44. You're my island. Beautiful, you're my island queen. The darker the skin, the deeper the roots. I won't stop telling you you're beautiful to me. Hey, tell me if it's real, girl, 'cause I don't want it to end. I want our love to last forever, ever, baby.
You can fly around the world. Ain't no one like you, girl. I thank you, thank my mother for para.
G'day, mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Don't forget tomorrow, D-Day. It's all happening. Go to the booths and referendum. Have your say, yes or no, regarding voice to Parliament. And we'll find out, if not tomorrow night, then Sunday, Monday, we'll find out whether or not we will have a voice to Parliament. There it is, your mob, compulsory, need to do it. Of course, you've got to be signed up in the electoral roll. And if you haven't, need to do that and have your say. Otherwise, just run with the status quo to what comes out. There it is. Have your say, yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. All right, Circa Cairns. Yes, media release. Special advanced preview of new show by Circa Cairns. And the name of the show is called Sun. With that, we're going to talk to our Deadly Brother, who's the artistic director and also performing in the show. That's Harley Mann. And a very good morning, my brother. How are you, Harley?
Yeah, good, Trev. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Great to see you. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob are and where you're from, bro.
Yeah, so my mob are Walk Walk Mob. But I grew up in Sydney on Gadigal country. Yes. And now I'm up here on Yidinji country calling home.
Calling home, fantastic. Saw the light and come north, eh?
Hey.
Shut up. Too deadly, my brother. So let's talk Sun, special advance preview of new show by Circa Cairns. Now, you're the artistic director for Circa Cairns. Mm-hmm. First, tell the people, let's talk about Circa Cairns. What is Circa Cairns?
Yeah, so Circa Cairns is a major initiative of Circa Contemporary Circus. So Circa are a contemporary circus based in Brisbane. And for a long time, they've been coming up to Cairns doing their shows and things. But circus as an art form, as a sector, is not very black. You know, there's not a lot of mob doing, you know.
Well, they do it off the bridge in the creek up in community.
Right. But no one getting paid, you know. Yeah. And that's the problem, is that actually our stories don't make it onto stage because our mob aren't getting the opportunities to be on stage.
Sure.
And you know, do it as a profession and make an income and doing the thing that we're great at.
Mm.
So just over a year ago, we started Circa Cairns here in Cairns.
Mm.
An opportunity for mob to tell stories on stage, tell the things that are important to us. Lots of contemporary acrobatics and dance and storytelling.
Fantastic. I just did my hip listening to you, visualizing me doing that sort of stuff. So there's a career pathway, you could say.
Yeah.
There's an industry to so what would you call a person doing this sort of work, an acrobatic?
Just an acrobat.
Acrobat.
Circus artist, acrobat.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. So there is a platform out there for that. I mean, you go to any of the circuses and there's people spinning from up top.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the sort of work, isn't it?
That's exactly what we do. So we do a kind of a number of different things, from tumbling on the floor, flips and, you know, back salts and things like that, to standing on other people, creating pyramids, all sorts of shapes like that.
Mm.
And then all the way to like climbing on apparatus apparatus up in the air, up on the ropes, trapezius. Things like that. Exactly right.
Under the same umbrella.
Yep, all same.
You like that? Same umbrella. Talking about a tent, circus. How sharp are you, Trendy Trip, Murray from Recovery? So let's talk about Sun. Mm-hmm. This is a new show by you guys, Circa Cairns. Mm-hmm. Tell us, in a show like so, when acrobatic tour, is there conversations going on? Is there a story? Is there actors? Paint the picture.
Yeah, there's definitely story. There's no conversation. There's no words, but it is sung. So we're working with Gadajala Kiridara, who are a quartet, and they're singing the song of the show.
Okay.
And the story is a story that's relatively personal to me. It comes from a kind of a place. It's a show about the relationship between fathers and sons and how that informs masculinity. And I've thought about the show for quite a long time growing up in Sydney in a single mother family.
Okay.
And as I went through high school and all that stuff. And
with the absence of a father?
With the absence of a father, but obviously... In a cultural context, you've got uncles and lots of other people holding this space, right?
Yes.
But from a Western perspective, going through Western high school, and there's all these stories about, old Greek classical tales and how the father shapes the identity of the son and their masculinity, I was sitting there going, like, what is this? This doesn't make any sense to me. This doesn't, this doesn't relate. This doesn't
comprehend.
Tell that. Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. So that show, this show, Sun, is all about that and also mostly more about looking at what is masculinity for black fellas, but for modern people, we're in a space
now. This day and age, 21st century. Yeah.
Exactly right, where our understanding and our relationship to being men essentially doesn't look like it has always looked like. And that's what we're exploring in this work. So there is a narrative in that way.
Sure, fantastic. So confirming, when you're watching the show, there's no voices.
No voices.
Music playing in the background. Mm-hmm. But you're watching the show, watching the acrobats do their thing, which is telling the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
All right. Through song. So like, do you have a choir sitting on stage?
Yeah, so they're integrated into the work. So they're singing from side stage, they're on stage, they're walking around, they're holding our hands. There's all sorts of different interactions. And what it was really important to do in telling this story was that, it's about the relationship between the father and the son.
Okay.
The male acrobats on stage are the son. The father is absent in the work. Their kind of presence is felt.
Spirit.
Yeah. Mm. And then the quartet, the singers, are the representation of the mother, the healer, the person that is there to hold the children during
the
that story.
Non-existent of the father and the mother wearing the two hats.
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Oh, this is
got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
Always second guessing it. New York is a place I'd places. Sometimes I'm gonna miss it. Head noise is fading. It's so outdated. I don't think I'm gonna miss it. So many places, all these new faces. Sometimes I'm gonna miss it. Maybe it's a sign I should stop.
Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Yarn Up with the Bullywan, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry. Coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. We're going to catch up a yarn with Trevor Peckham. Trevor, good morning, brother. How are you?
Yeah, come about thing, brother Trevor.
Henry.
Yeah, my brother, Debbie Edimwabim.
And family. Morning.
Yeah, morning, my brother.
Good morning, brother. Let the mob know who you mob. Where you from, Henry? Henry Nona.
Yeah, my brother originated from the Torres Strait, Tabu tribe from Top Western cluster in the Torres Strait there. And I'm in the Eastern Island there, Murray Island.
Mm. Beautiful.
Yeah, fire away.
A good footprint,
yeah,
brother.
Go ahead, my brother.
Now, we got the vote tomorrow, Saturday 14th, for the referendum. You've said on this show before that you're a no. You want to elaborate on that, or are you happy just to run with it, brother?
Yeah, my brother, I'll actually elaborate on that just for our listeners, our families out there nationally right across the country. The whole motive behind why I'm a no voter, my brother, just to establish foundation as families going to the polls come tomorrow. Mm. I respect families that go yes right across this country. I think, my brother, the motive behind my no vote, mm-hmm. It's for the very principle of concept and ideologies, my brother.
Yeah.
And I think when you look at the history of this country and globally, when it comes to concept and ideology, specifically around government, when it comes to the British in general, I think our families. I'm a community boy at heart. Just moved to the mainland, but just with reference to the referendum, our listeners out there, loved ones, families, got to really understand the concept and ideologies why we've got. The governor, for example, the British actually conquered a lot of countries.
Yep.
And in terms of being a no voter, the very motive behind is I'm questioning the principle and the ideology and concept of this government.
Mm.
For example, my brother, the British actually influenced a lot of countries globally. And when we talk about
colonization.
Yeah, my brother, colonization. When it comes to really understanding this whole process, we've been oppressed for generations.
Mm.
And going into this political regime, do we want to continue to be oppressed by the oppressor? And my brother, it's the concept and ideologies.
Mm.
So, I don't know the king.
Sure.
I don't know the queen. But to have their regime influencing us from generation to generation, for the yes voters, yes, I can understand their motive behind why we can use this vehicle for future generation. But it's the concept and ideologies for our listeners out there.
Mm.
We got to really ask the principle behind what we actually engaged in here. And when it comes to self-determination, we've been striving for decades and under this oppressing regime. And when you talk about liberty and freedom going forward, it's the concept and ideologies our families and listeners need to really understand. The concept why this government actually exists since 1788 in this country.
Mm.
So in order to understand the present, we've got to go back history.
Okay.
And I've got no sort of art feeling towards the yes voters.
Yep.
That's the motive why I actually voting no.
Okay.
In terms of, as you know, my brother, the British actually, when it comes to colonizing other countries, going forward. So I'm questioning the concept and ideologies, and I hope families, as they go to vote, really understand the very foundation of what we engaged in here.
Okay.
And we've got to call it for what it is, my brother. I don't want to sugarcoat anything.
Mm.
And I don't want to persuade families to vote no. My motive behind why I'm voting no, because, like I said, I don't know the king and the queen.
Mm.
And the reason why I say this, my brother, you look at Russia, you look at China, you look at Cuba. Why? Yeah, they've got their pros and cons, having in terms of their regime in their country.
Mm.
But it's the concept and ideologies we engaged in here in terms of being liberated.
Mm.
Why do you think people like Bob Marley and they're in the music industry singing for freedom?
Yes.
And we've got freedom fighters in this country over the years.
Yes.
Civil rights movements. We shouldn't be in this position in the first place, my brother. But I take my hat off for Indigenous politicians historically contributed over the years, Mr. Bonner, and other freedom fighters trying to make a better living for us.
Yes.
And our families need to be reminded it's the concept and ideologies that this is the reason why we actually govern by the regime from a foreign country. Why you think we've established sovereign indigenous government?
Mm.
Not to be a threat to the Australian government, but to coexist and work in alliance with them.
Sure.
And when we talk about treaty.
Sure.
And when we talk about treaty voice, recognition, I'm not too worried about all that. Question the concept and ideologies.
Mm.
For example, my brother, the universities right across this country and globally, concept and ideologies, people are ruling us from the grave.
Yeah.
When it comes to understanding how we're programmed in a certain way. And don't get me wrong, my brother, us as indigenous families right across this country, we have our pros and cons as well when it comes to the political arena. And I know that this is the time to make change. And families like just want to bring their attention, focus back to foundation, really understanding the very foundation of this regime we're going to vote going into.
Mm.
And like I mentioned to your listeners last week, not having the committee just as an advisory capacity. You see the New Zealand Waitangi Treaty.
Mm.
There's similar process. They can make laws, but they're just an advisory capacity. And
so you feel there's got no meat on the bone? So I say to you as a no, if not yes, voice to Parliament, then what? What would be the plan for the no voters or for the no-sayers? And when you look at people like Dutton, what's their plan then? Are you happy with their plan? What is their plan?
I think my brother, like culturally speaking, as you know, geographically across Australia, we have our kingship structure, we have our protocols. And we're trying to debate a national issue here to do with governing our affairs. When it comes to the regime that we've been governed by for generations, it's actually obviously to govern the human affairs right across this country. And my brother, it goes back to the very foundation. And no, I don't want to be disrespectful to our non-Indigenous loved ones right across this country, but we got to ask the very question, the concept and ideologies. That's what it comes down to, my brother.
Mm.
And why you think they name the White House or the Governor House? Obviously, it's to colonize and advance their mandate when it comes to their regime. Mm. And I'm thinking of my nephews and nieces, meeting an extended family, future generation. If I go, like, it'll be interesting to see my brother. I guarantee you it won't make a difference, either yes or no, in terms of if it actually succeeds, all the yes voters. Mm. It'll be interesting to see that how we're going to actually continue to live under this regime. When I went to school, they didn't teach about this subject matter, what we're talking about. Mm. And when you talk about self-determination, the history speaks for itself. The Uluru Statement, if the past government actually didn't favor all our leaders assembled in the heart of this country, what does that tell us as listeners?
Mm. Mm. Yes.
Do we want to continue being dictated? I know that Rome wasn't built in a day.
Sure, sure. So when you look at it, I'm just going to say, my brother, so they put the yes vote to have a voice to Parliament, a committee, a group of people at the table for government to converse with in regard to decisions. So if not that, then we stay as we are, status quo.
Yeah, my brother, I think for the listeners out there, families and loved ones, it's the reality of democracy, what we engage in right now.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
It's the reality of democracy. Like,
things don't change if things don't change. So if we don't get a yes, we just remain as we are, where government's making decisions on First Nations people and their issues. Are you happy with that?
To be honest, my brother, it won't make a difference. As an ex-copper in the Queensland Police Force, my brother,
yes,
the royal debt in custody nationally across this country, the high statistics, I think the statistics speak for itself in this country, whether you talk about our justice system, whatever the social issues are.
Sure.
And I believe it's a spiritual problem that needs a spiritual answer.
Mm.
And when it comes to what we're dealing with here, but going back to the very foundation, it's something that all of us need to question as we go into voting.
Mm.
And now I know there's a level of confusion nationally right across this country. The reason why I'm focusing specifically on concept and ideologies so that family can understand the foundation it was built on.
Mm.
And my brother, I hope that either way, if the yes voters, if everything comes to fruition,
yep,
we'll be still running under the ideology and concept of the British.
Okay.
That's what it comes down to, my brother.
Sure. So yes or no, we're still running under government rules and laws and regulations and dictatorship, you feel?
Yeah, my brother, you just look at China. Why they, as a nation of people, choose not to be influenced by the Western society?
Mm.
And all the global issues that when it comes to our contemporary issues.
Yes.
And, it's all to do with concept and ideologies.
Mm.
And why you think they teach in universities? I haven't been to uni. Mm. I've just got common sense. I've made some dumb decisions in the past.
Yes.
And I haven't got it all together. I've got my flaws.
Mm.
But just in terms of the referendum, families got to really ask the question. We want to be governed going forward by a regime that not giving us the freedom and liberty when it comes to the federal government budget handout. How much time they cut funding from Indigenous affairs?
Mm.
I think it comes down to my brother going forward. We need leaders with strong character in the political arena. But it comes, like, in terms of the concept and ideologies, we got to take family back to history to understand the contemporary issues with referendum, what we're dealing with.
So we look at the opposition leader, which is Dutton, and he's a no. So do you think he's got a vision for First Nation people in this country?
To be honest, my brother, I don't really trust bureaucrats.
Yep.
Because you talk about grassroots. Those bureaucrats and politicians, they haven't got trust, the credibility on a grassroots level. I'm a community boy at heart. My brother maybe live on the mainland, he in WA. But my language, my native tongue, where we come from, Brother Trevor, is Yakunura Umai Ningapa Milagas. Don't forget where you come from. Don't despise humble beginnings.
Exactly.
I can speak in behalf of our heritage, Brother Trevor, in the Torres Strait.
Yes.
Going back DNA time, I've been influenced by my elders in terms of listeners listening, those that know the history back home. We still, to do with the Torres Strait itself, as the next government employee in the region back home. You've got nearly 60 government agencies on Thursday Island. I don't, in terms of duplicating services, this referendum going forward, it's just duplicating services. And my brother, but the very topic and focus I want to focus on here this morning for our listeners, it's the concept and ideologies. And we got to ask, this referendum we're going into, where the Australian government, where did those concept and ideology originated from? To really help families that are not too savvy in the political arena, landscape nationally across this country. And that's something I just want to say in closing, my brother, going into the voting tomorrow. And, if it'll be interesting to see, my brother, what lays ahead for us come after Saturday results. And, I never listened, no one, my brother, nationally across this country talk about concept and ideologies.
Sure.
That needs to be elaborated on. Need to be emphasized on. And my brother, I think that's where, when we talk about setting up our next generation for success, we got to, when we talk about truth telling, I hear it's quite common phrase we use right across our contemporary society today.
Yes.
When it comes to truth telling, I think the truth telling here, my brother, families need to understand concept and ideologies. Like, for example, the Indigenous Affairs Minister, past and present, over the years, when they get sworn into office, they swear their allegiance to the Queen or to the King. That tells me they haven't got my loyalty as a voter.
Okay, I see where you're going,
And they actually swear their allegiance to the Crown. Although they still represent Indigenous affairs. And I think, my brother, I think we need to really ask the very root question when it comes to this regime we're governed by. And we talk about trying to improve Indigenous affairs right across this country. And that's why sovereign Indigenous government, as you know, my brother, we came into existence for the very fact that not been recognized in the constitution of this country. It's a foundational document that governs the affairs of this country.
Well, because there's no treaty, all First Nation tribal people have got a right to run their own government. And that's what a sovereign Indigenous government has done.
When I went through ceremony, my brother, in Northern Territory, in WAI, in the Pilbara. Those kingship structure, it's based on concept and ideologies, cultural practices, way of living, connection to land, sea, and air. Like, for example, in the mining industry, my brother, the corporate business world in the mining sector, gas and oil, they look the land as commodity. We see it as sacred. Something that the Western culture will never understand us. As First Nation people.
My brother,
and all the other natives in other countries.
I'm going to go to another caller, but thank you for your input. Thank you for your call. And I'd love to chat with you next week in regard to the results and where we turn out.
All the best, my brother, and looking forward to networking with you in the near future. And all our listeners out there, all the best going into the polls tomorrow. Kime se na oso.
Big eso bala. Yawo. Henry Nona, calling from WA. He's a no voter and explained his reason why. And look, there it is. We do go to the polls tomorrow for the referendum. Are there yes or no to voice to Parliament? Have you saying Yana Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. All right, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Uncle Bradley Gosam, a Jubal traditional owner, is outraged over misrepresentation on a Roorora Station wind farm project. So we've got Uncle Bradley on the line. Uncle Bradley, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yourself?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you from, Uncle?
Hey, look, I'm a Jirrabal man.
Mm.
The area we... Jirrabal claim is Ravenshoe, Herberton, Hot yes. Springs, Tully area too as well.
Okay, brother. Thank you very much, Uncle. So, elders and traditional owners for land proposed to host a wind farm near Ravenshoe in Far North Queensland have been gathered on country this week to express their outrage at being misrepresented and calling for the Federal Environmental Minister, Tania Plibersek, to consult with them directly. So you feel that you haven't been consulted?
No, not from any of that side, the okay. minister's side.
Yep.
We just have a lot of agitators out there. They've been going for about 2 years protesting about it, using false Indigenous, like Jirrabal. The main one was not a Jirrabal, it was a Nudgeon man.
Yeah.
They've just got three Jirrabal women, you know, making a big noise. But yeah, no, we had ministers come and go to their side, but not our side.
Okay.
You know, if the ministers have a problem with wind farms, that's good and fine. But at least come to the right place to check out who the Aboriginal party of the area is first, before you go with this other group jumping up and down, and then you go out with this big banner saying no durable consent, which is an outright lie.
So governments are communicating with not all traditional owners, is what you're saying.
Beg your pardon, can you say that again?
I'm just saying that you're saying that government is not communicating with the true traditional owners.
That's correct.
That's what you're saying. So who are they talking to people who claim they're traditional owners?
There's three women who are durable. There's a man there as well, but he's a Nudgeon man. He got no business on Jirrabal country.
Sure, yes.
Whatsoever.
Yes.
But they haven't been speaking with us, not at all.
Okay. So has the horse already bolted? Are they going ahead with the wind farms project?
We're still in process of getting a green light from the minister.
Okay. So the horse hasn't bolted, so you're still time to sit at the table and discuss the so-called wind farm project.
Oh, yeah, we've been in discussions with the proponent.
Okay.
For the wind farm. That's not a problem. Everything's good there. It's just that all the defamation that's going around through
sure.
media all around the nation about us, saying that Jirrabal never gave consent, which we did.
Okay.
We had four community meetings that was facilitated by the NQLC, North Queensland Land Council.
Yep.
All process and protocol were followed out with respect.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how we got these ministers going around saying Jirrabal never gave consent to the wind farm.
Well, there you go. Well, don't we have documents to state that fact? And traditional owners signed those papers as well to show
that's correct.
The agreement,
yeah, that's
the MOU
correct.
Or the contract?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yes.
Oh, we already have. Yeah, we have all that. The government, the ministers never come anywhere near Jirrabal.
Yeah.
They just went to a little shop in Ravenshoe, where this little group run. They go in there, they get all their instructions from that little shop
sure.
in Ravenshoe.
Okay, so haven't been fully representative, the Jirrabal people?
No, they don't represent the Jirrabal people
okay,
at all.
There you go.
They're just
okay.
three Jirrabal people and one Nudgeon bloke.
Yeah.
Got no business
well,
with
that.
With
doesn't
what we
sound
do.
Right, does it?
No, it doesn't no. sound right at all.
Okay, my brother. Well, where are you at with it? What are you doing to amend this, to get it right, to have the right people at the table? What are you doing, Uncle Bradley?
We're trying to get a meeting with the minister.
Okay. Have you heard anything back on appointment, a date, a time?
No, we haven't had a reply back from the minister at all.
Keep knocking on the door, eh, Uncle?
Yeah, we will.
Okay, well, thank you for your yarn. Good luck with all. Please keep in touch and keep us up to date.
Yep, for sure. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Uncle. Bye-bye. That's Uncle Bradley. Uncle Bradley, go, Sam. Durable traditional owner. And look, claiming, well, there's no communication by the minister and regarding the Woorora Station wind farm project. So that's what he's calling about. And they're reaching out to the minister. No feedback just yet. And having people at the table representing, but not true Durable people is what he's saying. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? We've got another call on line. We've got Selwyn. Selwyn, good morning, Selwyn. How are you?
Sorry, it's Tony.
Tony. Thank you, Tony. Yeah, how are you, Tony?
Go ahead. I'm good, mate. I would like to have a say on the vote before, you know. I just think Australia is coming on trial tomorrow.
Yep, trial. That's your description? Yep.
Yeah, I call it a trial, and so the result... I'm talking about Queensland and our Premier. Mm. He's just been overseas, and this is the government. I expect Queensland will be a no vote, and Western Australia, because of minor and opposition. You know, there are some really racist places in Australia.
Yep.
I'm hoping that the other southern states do the yes.
Mm.
And before, he mentioned Romans. I think it's like throwing people to the lions, what's happening, you know, throwing people under the bus. It must be really terrible for Murrays. You know, I'm not Murray, I'm Miggley.
Yep.
It must just be really terrible for all you fellas. Everybody says, look at them, you know, we're only few number and they got all this, you know. And so you say, what's next? Well, Australian government is only halfway to the Commonwealth English government. Mm. I think King Charles is getting king. I don't even like calling him king, sing king. I think that he's in Kenya and Africa apologising for the past and stuff. But there's
a
lot more.
He hasn't apologised here to the Big Island yet, has he?
No, and that's what Mr. Nome before talked about. That's where the truth will, you know, the vote. Like Lydia says, if it goes down, it is a win for sovereign people because they're not risking the sovereignty. Sure. I understand that.
And if it's a win for the no, nothing changes.
Well, then we're not... Albanese can say, oh, you can't go forward. You know, you can't do nothing. Well, no man can say that. And he shouldn't have let this happen. He should have just put it in place. He's chucked people to the lions and...
Australia's
got to
vote on changes.
Yeah, it has. Hey, look, give Selwyn a go, mate, and I'll give him a lot of room. I've had a busy week. I just wanted to say Australia is on trial. This will prove whether it's a racist country or not.
Thank you, brother. That's Tony Gibbs having his say Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black. A day before the referendum, we go to the polls tomorrow, Saturday 14th October, regarding voting yes or no. We've got Selwyn on the line. Selwyn, good morning, Selwyn.
Yeah, brother. Yeah, just the answer, brother. They get a wrong call out there, brother. You know, they're saying no matter who you vote for, a politician will always win. Well, then this one, brother, no matter who you vote for, yes or no, the United States, bloody swearing, mate, they'll have a win, brother. And there it is, you know, like consent. Mm. Once our commission, you know, like legally, we give them consent.
Yes.
And that's how the government are. They'll always do what is legally right, but it's morally wrong.
You've always said that. That's your statement forever. Legally right, but morally wrong.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, brother. And where all that money going to come for that? Will that billions of dollars of nuclear submarine, brother. There's a lot of... There was a mining exploration there. We don't know what the outcome of it. I think like they had it in the back of the papers on public notice of all the mining. We don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But just look at... They're connected with the war in Israel and this with potential war with China. And, brother, Palm Island right next to a garrison, TD Town, where they got a bloody Rattlesnake Island there where they are... live bombing practice, and you know what they've done before? They shifted up and mob down to Townsville and up to Warrabin, Palm Island, old people, and you know, the government excuse for old Mapun. I told you about that book launch there in the Kansas City Library, Barbara Miller's book, and the elder said one of the gambling excuses for them to move them, one of them excuses was because they had hookworms, you know, but they can do that, they can shift us around. And the top part, you know, like the southern part of this country, you might know, but from Broome over back to this way, we're the first impact people, brother. And without even knowing each other, you know, all the trauma that they had, they had crawled me in Ireland with the aeroplane, brother. Mm-hmm. And we had that experience. And, you know, when the, what's called Rainbow Warrior got, Morrow Atoll, when they had that steel hunting and the fighting from the nuclear fallout, they was looking at the fogs up here, brother. And I don't know why Lotus Glen, like Miranda Milk, they stood there. I don't know why. One part
so
I didn't
think
that they had.
So bad,
yeah, they said they were getting their milk from Tasmania. And that's, I don't know if it was fighting about the nuclear fallout, but they're looking at fogs. And then there's a lot of stuff, brother, that's going on that we don't even know about, brother. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother. Well, there it is. Murray going to sign off for today's program. Thank you very much, you mob. Look, we're back in the hot seat again on Monday, and there we'll know the answers, either yes or no, regarding the voice to Parliament. But thank you for your company, mob. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. May the best side win, and the future looks dim at the moment. See where we stand. Thank you very much. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong.